WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A Hamas hostage deal could happen soon to free dozens, including Americans. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. is watching these talks closely.
President Biden and the team here is doing everything we can to help get the hostages that Hamas took, get them released, including young children and, of course, Americans that are in that pool.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's in Ukraine today and says the U.S. is sending another $100 million in weapons.
They have the means that they'll need to be successful in fighting in the wintertime. And I think I agree with President Zelensky. The right thing to do is to continue to press the fight, take the fight to the enemy.
Derek Chauvin's bid to appeal his state murder conviction has been denied. WCCO Steve Simpson.
The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected to hear the former Minneapolis police officer's appeal of his second-degree murder conviction in the killing of George Floyd. The High Court leaving in place his 22-and-a-half-year sentence without comment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court tomorrow hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's Republican legislative maps. Luke Berg is with the Conservative Institute for Law and Liberty. He says there's an easy fix to claims that non-contiguous maps are unconstitutional.
A third of those islands have zero people in them, another third have less than 10, and another third have less than 100. And there's only a handful that have more than 100 people in them.
Berg was on Upfront on WYSN-TV. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican proposal to cut state income taxes by $2 billion and to expand a tax credit parents use to pay for child care. The GOP bill was put forward after Republicans rejected Evers' proposed billion-dollar boost to workforce programs in child care. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. One person was killed after a crash on Interstate 94 near Baldwin on Friday. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, around 9:15 a.m. on Friday, officers responded to a crash and complaints of a wrong-way driver who later collided with an eastbound semi-tractor trailer. The driver of the wrong-way car was killed in the crash, and their name has not been released by authorities yet. The driver of the semi-tractor trailer was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Proposed legislation in the Wisconsin State Legislature would prohibit public school or university libraries from receiving any state or local funds if it bans access to books. The bill was authored by State Representative Jody Emerson, and it would make libraries ineligible for funds that restrict access to books due to political disapproval or the background or belief of the authors. The bill would not apply to current age restrictions on material that is considered obscene or to prison libraries. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Bucks are in the nation's capital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks face the Wizards tonight in the Capital One Arena in Washington. Milwaukee coming off a 132-125 win over the Mavericks. Saturday night, Damian Lillard scored 27 points, Giannis with 40, and teammate Pat Connaughton connected on some three-point shots to add another 16 points despite the challenges.
Anything to win. You know, I think we got a team that is competitive. We've really grown in making sure that we're making the right basketball play.
NFL, what a day for the Packers. Three rookie defensive backs against the Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Jordan Love with a pair of beautiful touchdown passes. Green Bay beat L.A. 23-20 in a game that went down to the wire. Tense moments for Aaron Jones, who was carted off the field with a painful knee injury. I spoke to him at his locker.
No, it's not my ACL, so we're good there. To start the recovery process, the healing process, I got to do an MRI tomorrow, see how that goes, and go from there.
That's the Packers running back, Aaron Jones. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Cloudy and colder today. We'll get to around 45 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy, 31. Tomorrow, a little more sunshine, high of 42 on Wednesday, 44. Thanksgiving Day, partly cloudy with a high of only 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Wolf. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Coming to you with Matt Flynn Direct, second hour. Coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was trouble at the California State Democratic Convention this weekend. And in my opinion, it's a harbinger of what you're going to see more of from now through the primaries, through the caucuses, and the nominating convention. Here's what happened. The Democratic Party is very, very split on the whole subject of the war in the Middle East, the sadistic, genocidal attack by Hamas, which is part of Islamic Jihad, to kill and torture and capture as hostages Israeli civilians. They're holding on to a 9-year-old boy, 3-year-old boy, infants. They're holding on to 30 kids. They just killed a teenage soldier in the Israeli army that they captured. They also killed two others from other countries. And what they're saying when this happens is that they were killed in the bombing. So when there's a bombing, they are killing hostages right now. Hamas is killing hostages right now. They rape them, the women, they mutilate them. And they have said that once the bombing stops, they will do it again and again and again. Israel is a liberal democracy. It's open. People can walk around. It's a terrible, terrible thing. If we had that, for instance, on the Canadian or Mexican border, what do you do? Well, at the California State Convention this weekend, there was a large demonstration by people who said they were pro-Palestinian. In fact, they were pro-Hamas. They are anti-Israel, the anti-Semitic. And what they ended up doing was they shut down the convention for all intents and purposes. They invaded the auditorium. They overwhelmed security guards. Two security guards got injured. There should be criminal prosecutions for the people who injured them. There are cameras there. They shut down a forum for U.S. Senate candidates. Remember, there are some very fine, prominent U.S. Senate candidates running for this Senate. And Dianne Feinstein's seat. And they shut that down. They also shut down the caucuses. And California has a system, which I don't necessarily like, but it's a system of caucuses where the party can endorse a Senate candidate. That person gets 60% of the vote, 6-0. Well, in this case, there weren't enough. The candidates were so strong that nobody could get 60%. But they shut those caucuses down. Jewish attendees, people who were Jewish and were delegates, were surrounded, intimidated, and harassed. That is anti-Semitic attack. That's anti-Semitic harassment. California Legislative Jewish Caucus, because out there, here we have an African-American caucus and women's caucus, for instance. And then you have some issue caucuses out there, such a big state, so diverse. They have a Jewish caucus in the legislature. They put out a statement that said some Jewish delegates believe it is unsafe to participate at all in California Democratic caucuses. This is going to happen elsewhere in the country as a result of it. And a very, very clear statement has to be made by the Democratic Party, and it has to be made by the United States. We have welcomed many people, many diverse people from different backgrounds, different faiths, and different countries. But we will not tolerate shutting down our democracy. We are spending a lot of time, and rightly so, attacking the Freedom Caucus, attacking Donald Trump, attacking people who want to shut it down from the right. Tommy Tuberville, Matt Gaetz, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Gymnasium Jim Joam Jordan. But we are equally determined not to let it be shut down from the left. This even poses as the left. This happened at a Minnesota convention last year, where people who weren't willing to follow the rules, the same kind of folks, were punching people and attacking them and yelling at them. There simply got to be a statement. We must know who these people are. They should be on camera, a lot of them. They should be barred from future participation in California Democratic Party events and caucuses. They should be excluded from the auditoriums, and if they come, they should be arrested. The idea here is not benign. It isn't to draw attention to a war or a problem. It is to isolate and attack and physically harm and intimidate people who are Jewish, who are active Democrats. And I should remind everybody that we're a diverse party and there's a lot of good people in everything, but Jewish American contributions to the Democratic Party and frankly to civil rights, to the arts, to our politics, to our universities, are really without peer. We're not going to sit back and stand to see him attacked. The crowd, as they descended on it and shut down these caucuses, shouted, among other things, "Intifada, Intifada," and "From the river to the sea." Intifada, Intifada, from the river to the sea. This shouldn't even be in our country. We've been very lax in our immigration. What happens is people come here and they say, well, you have a First Amendment. I have a right to express my views. And you might say, well, where you came from, if you express any views, they would have killed you. You can't sow violence. And they'll say, well, we aren't technically doing that. But then they shut things down. As I said before, a man is killed out in Thousand Oaks, California. Kid has his nose broken down in Tulane. Female cop in Washington is beaten up, slammed against the garage door, punched in the face. You have faculty members that are on board with this, taunting. This is not a case of somebody that's trying to get rid of a colonial power. If they were, they should have fought harder against British colonial power. Israel has offered a two-state solution at least three times in its history. At least three times. It's been turned down each time. And enough's enough. Enough's enough. And the statement has to come nationally. It has to come from the Democratic Party. It has to come from governors. You're in America now. You are not going to shut down our politics. We're not going to have a repetition of what happened out there in California. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. This is very troubling news to me because I lean Democratic because of my union ties. I really don't have a different political party I can belong to because of that. But the Democratic left is out of control. Now, my understanding is on this whole situation that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. All the rest
That's of right.
Egypt, and, right? So why? Well, I don't get this. Why would you demonstrate for anybody that doesn't have a democracy? We live in a democracy. And why would you want to tear? You know, it's bad enough with the far right, but this is also bonkers, too, supporting a non-democracy country. So that's my, heaven forbid, I can't lose the Democratic Party because then my union is probably gone. So,
right,
okay, thanks,
right.
Matt.
Listen, I'm riding with Biden, Paul, and I know you are. I'm riding with Biden. I'm riding with the Democratic Party. We need you and we need everybody. We got to win this one. We're riding with Biden. And that was a good call. Thank you. Dave in Madison, my friend. Thank you for calling. Dave, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, I really like your remarks on Jewish participation in the Democratic Party. I just want to say something about Jewish fidelity to the Democratic Party, too, not to mention our the contribution of Jews. I'm happy to be one of them. And that's, you know, there are, I believe, 36 or so, 38 members. My numbers might not be exact, but they're pretty close. 38 members of Congress, both houses, who are Jewish. And 36 of those are Democrats. So that tells you about Jewish contribution and fidelity to the Democratic Party. And, of course, we have the long history that you very, you did a rendition of the history of Jewish contributions to the Democratic Party, which is excellent. Also, you know, Barney Frank, you know, I don't know if people remember him, but he used to be head of the House Financial Services Committee. He said, you know, aside from blacks, the two most reliable constituencies for the Democratic Party are the Jews and the gays. He was a gay member of and Jewish member of Congress. So he liked to brag about that. Anyway, I yield the floor to you.
Excellent call. Excellent call. The point is, we're all Americans. The point is, we have separation of church and state. And the point is, we have no established religion. We're not going to put up with people roaming through conventions and parades and sidewalks, beating people up for their ethnicity or their religion. We're not putting up with it in the United States. Germany put up with it. They put up with the 1930s. They had a thing called Kristallnacht. The night of the broken glass, Kristallnacht. And these Nazi thugs went down the street and they busted up storm windows, or I should say display windows of Jewish-owned businesses, and the glasses lying around the street, and there are photographs at the time of people laughing. That ain't happening here. We're not going to let that happen here. And I want to say that we've brought a lot of people in through immigration laws, legally and illegally, and I'm not happy with some of it. But they will obey the law here. And yes, there's a First Amendment, but you're not going to get together and harass Jewish Americans. It's as simple as that. They have provided inestimable benefits to our country, and they will continue to do it. They will continue to do it. Well, 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 what do we have coming up? This is hard to believe. A Princeton professor being investigated. Why is he being investigated? Backbiter, tell him that
God's gonna cut you down. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Chris from Middleton, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is amazing. There's a Princeton University professor named Syed Hossein Mousavian, whom the Republicans on the House Committee on Education are investigating. They've sent interrogatories, requests for information to Princeton about him. When I first saw it, I thought, well, these are Republicans and what the heck. Well, then I read more and here are the facts. This guy is still he's a former member of the Iranian regime, but he is still close to it. He was their ambassador to Germany, and he was expelled by the Germans after the murder of several Iranian dissidents, three of whom were Kurds. Somehow he ends up at Princeton. He attended the funeral of Qasem Soleimani. Do you remember that? That was when Trump was president. We went in and assassinated him, and he deserved to be assassinated. He is a guy who is responsible for killing 600 American service members. He was roaming around free in Iraq, and that was the last time he roamed around free. In 2022, there was a tribute to Soleimani, an Iranian TV program. This Princeton professor, Syed Hossein Mousavian, was interviewed. It's a celebration of Soleimani. And he, in the interview on television, is quoted as saying, quote, the wife of Brian Hook, and by the way, Brian Hook was the U.S. envoy to Iran at the time. The wife of Brian Hook could not sleep for a few nights now because she fears her husband, Hook, the U.S. envoy, at the time of the killing of Soleimani, would face retaliation from Iran. He's saying this on Iranian TV, kind of pleased about it. Soleimani was the commander of the Quds Force, you may remember that, the Revolutionary Guard. And it gets worse. Syed Hossein Mousavian, the Princeton guy, Princeton University in New Jersey, Princeton University, was asked if he felt that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard were terrorist forces, as we allege. And by the way, they also helped plan the October 7 savage attack by Hamas against Israel just this October 7th. He said he didn't think they were, and that the United States and Iran should get together and talk peace. That's exactly what he said. Now, enough's enough. Enough's enough with this guy. Even though it's the Republicans launching it, he has no business, in my opinion, being permitted to teach at Princeton. Unfortunately, he may have snuck himself some American citizenship. It's fairly easy to do if you're a professor. The committee charged that Mousavian is spreading anti-Semitic and anti-Israel propaganda, and that he's helping Iran's nuclear program. His response was, Iran doesn't have a bomb. He isn't saying he's not helping them try to get one. Iran doesn't have one today. It's about 95% there. He always has a sneaky way that he answers it. Now, what's happened is, and it's important to understand these facts, that we have permitted a lot of faculty members in this country who are not only not loyal to the United States, don't like the United States, and are anti-Semitic. Let me give you an example. There is a woman, was a woman at the Emory School of Medicine, Emory University, great university, Abir Abuyabian. Right after October 7, Israel, she put out this quotation, quote, "Glory to all resistance fighters. They got walls, we got gliders." There was a professor at Cornell University who, when news got out about the torture of kids and women on October 7, said, "I am exhilarated and energized by Hamas's attack." He's still at Cornell. Something similar with Oberlin, University of California, Davis, City University of New York, NYU, Harvard, had 100 faculty members who said that the proposal to limit attacks on Jewish students and harassment was a violation of their First Amendment rights, the faculty members. So what do you think is going to happen if a kid who doesn't agree with them or a Jewish kid's in his class, what kind of grades are you going to get? At Oberlin College, there's a professor of Islamic studies who's a former Iranian ambassador to the U.S., Mohanib Jafar Moharlati. He supported the fatwa of the Ayatollah Khomeini against Salman Rushdie. And here's what he said when somebody said, "Well, that's not right. That's an invitation to murder." He said, quote, "All Islamic countries agree with Iran that any blasphemous statement against sacred figures should be condemned. I think if Western countries respect freedom of speech, they should respect our freedom of speech. We use that right to express ourselves in case of any blasphemous statement against sacred Islamic figures." This guy who's teaching at Oberlin right now was also involved in the killing of 5,000 Iranian dissidents in 1988, according to a 2018 Amnesty International report. Now, at what point do we say we're not putting up with this anymore? These are all great universities. Princeton's a very prestigious university. So is Cornell. So are Emory and NYU and the rest of them. You can't expect that the toxic anti-Semitic atmosphere on our university campuses are going to change or clean up when you have some administrators, some presidents, like the president of the University of Pennsylvania, but also faculty members saying these kinds of things, that they have a First Amendment right to support the killing of Salman Rushdie because the Ayatollah Khomeini issued a fatwa and it's a violation of the First Amendment rights to say otherwise. Or 100 faculty members, 100 is a lot of faculty members. I'm talking faculty, not staff. At Harvard saying that the steps being taken to stop attacks on Jewish students are somehow a violation of the faculty members' freedom of speech to do it. And other universities are part of this too. At Yale University, they had one of these things. They excluded Jewish students. And the chairman of the anthropology department, the American Studies department, and the religious studies department participated. Why aren't they fired? Why aren't they fired? It's time that we stepped up, say this is not going to happen in America. Not going to happen at all in America. Well, coming up, a lot of news and weather, and the White House standing up and fighting back against this crooked impeachment by the Republican House. 20th century Fox, she had 20th century
Fox. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
We'll be right back. Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tomorrow, the Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Jeff Mandel is with the liberal group Law Forward.
The way that these maps were drawn violates the separation of powers and is completely inappropriate, and therefore we need new maps that are drawn in a way that doesn't violate that bedrock protection of our liberties.
Mandel was on Upfront on WISN-TV. The athletic director at the University of Wisconsin in Platteville has died unexpectedly. The university provided few details this morning. Christina Navarro Krupka grew up in Madison and was in her fourth year as director of athletics and assistant chancellor at Platteville. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire County Aging and Disability Resource Center is looking for the public's help in finding ways to improve transportation in the area. The organization will host a meeting with community members today to get feedback on upcoming transportation plans for 2024. The ADRC is looking for community input on service gaps, ways to improve the program, and locating new areas that need service. The organization is partnered with the City of Eau Claire to provide rides for older and disabled people. The Wisconsin Department of Veteran Affairs has announced over $400,000 of funding will be given out through two grant programs to address mental health for veterans. The funding from the grants will come from the American Rescue Plan Act and are part of a $10 million investment by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers in veteran services. The programs will offset the costs for veterans receiving emergency and crisis mental health treatment and long-term mental health treatment. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Bucks are in the nation's capital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks face the Wizards tonight in the Capital One Arena in Washington. Milwaukee coming off a 132-125 win over the Mavericks. Saturday night, Damian Lillard scored 27 points, Giannis with 40, and teammate Pat Connaughton connected on some three-point shots to add another 16 points despite the challenges.
Anything to win. You know, I think we got a team that is competitive. We've really grown in making sure that we're making the right basketball play.
NFL, what a day for the Packers. Three rookie defensive backs against the Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Jordan Love with a pair of beautiful touchdown passes. Green Bay beat L.A. 23-20 in a game that went down to the wire. Tense moments for Aaron Jones, who was carted off the field with a painful knee injury. I spoke to him at his locker.
No, it's not my ACL, so we're good there. Start the recovery process, the healing process. I got to do an MRI tomorrow, see how that goes, and go from there.
That's the Packers running back Aaron Jones. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle. We're out there.
Cloudy and colder today. We'll get to around 45 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy, 31. Tomorrow, a little more sunshine, high of 42 on Wednesday, 44. Thanksgiving Day, partly cloudy with a high of only 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap, UK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
Well, I think GOP stands for gullible, ornery people. when I went to the, they really are gullible because, you know, low information voters and they follow the Pied Piper and the Music Man, you know, they're easily led around. This con artist extraordinaire. So they're clearly gullible. Ornery, when I went to the Paul Ryan vice presidential choice in Waukesha, the first meeting, the gathering there, I looked back at the crowd, and every single mouth was turned down in the corners. These were miserable, ornery people. This is, and that's what turned me off of the Republican Party when I'm a moderate Democrat, when I decided to make a lifetime choice decades ago. You know, I better stick with one party or the other. I could not put up with all the negativity I saw at Central Committee meetings of the Republican Party. They just pop up like popcorn and complain about one thing or another, you know. And make their spin move and sit down. It's insane. your reactions, please.
Yeah, that's a fascinating call, you know, because I've been a Democrat so long, I never was anything else. But, you know, here's something from a guy, Bob, who's a good guy, who was evaluating choices, and he goes to some sort of Paul Ryan appreciation thing. He was nominated for vice president. And that is his reaction. And I think it's actually a pretty solid and truthful reaction. In other words, if you go to Democratic meetings, and I've gone to them forever, from the county level to the, you know, here in Milwaukee, some of the assembly districts had annual dinners just in the assembly district for that district's Democratic Party, Southeast Suburban, for instance, in Milwaukee. And I would speak at some of them and I'd meet people. People are basically kind of happy, you know, they're kind of tolerant. A few times when I have seen large crowds of Republicans, it's usually during debates when I've debated Republican candidates or sometimes a Republican state chairman. There is a tension, and I never put it quite the way Bob did, but that's a very, very interesting way to do it. Thanks a lot, Bob. Good call. Okay, I want to talk about, thank God, I'm seeing the White House now really push back. You know, this fraudulent impeachment that they are allegedly pursuing and that Mike Johnson is letting them, although Mike Johnson is a lot sharper than Kevin McCarthy, and I think he knows the splashback on the Republican Party if he were to put an impeachment vote to the floor, because he has 221 people in his caucus. And Hakeem Jeffries is 212. So 212 would say no way on impeachment. He would need 218 of the 221. He could only lose three Republicans. And there are a couple of dozen Republicans who would not vote to impeach Joe Biden. A lot of them simply because they know there's no basis for it and it's wrong and un-American. But some of them because they're in seats that Biden won by 10 points and they really do not want to give up their congressional careers. So what they're doing is, what McCarthy did was empower, just administratively, which has no constitutional protection, the Oversight Committee and the Judiciary Committee to pursue this. They have a problem. And this is why Joe was very smart to push back, because he pushed back and they sent him a letter over the weekend. And they said, this impeachment investigation is unjustified, it's illegitimate, and we demand that you stop it and that you withdraw any attempted requests or subpoenas to the Biden family. Now, how can he say that? Well, because he's very smart and he's good and he's been around for 50 years. But more importantly, much more importantly, the law is that a committee cannot issue a subpoena unless authorized by the whole Congress, by the whole House of Representatives, by 218 of them. And they haven't done that because if they went to the floor to try to get 218 votes, they wouldn't get them. They probably wouldn't get 200 votes. They wouldn't get them. So what they're doing is putting out these fake requests with absolutely no sanction involved if people blow them off. But rather than just blow them off, what Biden said did is wonderful. He said, what you're doing is not only unjustified, it's illegitimate. I demand that you immediately withdraw any request for information from my family and stop this unlawful impeachment effort. And unlike Trump, who was impeached and should have been convicted, and the second time on January 6th, there were 8 Republicans who joined the Democrats. There were almost 60 votes, almost two-thirds 60% of the Senate voted to convict him. But unfortunately, it takes 67 votes, and they couldn't get the other 7 votes. So I'm very, very glad to see this. I think it's about time, but it's done just perfectly at exactly the right time. And now their choice is going to be, let's go to the floor, try to get the whole Congress, 218 votes to let us do these subpoenas, or tuck our tails between our legs. And I think that is what they are going to do. By the way, earlier on in the show, I had talked about Mark Wayne Mullen. And then we got a bunch of terrific calls. I always go to the lines first. And so we didn't get around to Mark Wayne Mullen. But I thought I knew everything about the guy. This is the guy, violent, nasty guy, nasty looking guy from Oklahoma, who said to the witness, the president of a union, stop running your mouth, let's settle it right here, took off his wedding ring, rolled up his sleeve, and went around out on the floor to try to fight the guy until Bernie Sanders said, Bernie said, you're a senator, sit down. He's a pig, the guy's a pig. Unfortunately, we're going to see his carcass in Milwaukee next July, but I had not realized something he said after that episode, not on TV, but in a podcast, so it's been reported in print media. Here's what he said. He was boasting about doing it, about being a tough guy, so to speak. That's what he thinks he is. He thinks he's a tough guy. And he was boasting to the podcast host. And what he said was this, about threatening Sean O'Brien, the head of the Teamsters. He said, I want to explain how I fight. Said this on the podcast. By the way, quote, this is a direct quote. By the way, I'm not afraid of biting. I'll bite 100%. In a fight, I'm going to bite. I'll do anything. I'm not above it. And I don't care where I bite, by the way. I mean, I'm really tempted to have a bunch of people with signs as they walk into the convention hall and they see him, the signs will say, bite me. I mean, that's really what I am tempted, but I will not. I will not do that. But listen to this again. This is a U.S. senator who threatened to try to beat up a witness at a committee hearing chaired by Bernie Sanders. Bernie's 80 years old, but Bernie, at least 80 years old, but Bernie is tough as nails. And Bernie said to him, you're a senator, sit down. Mark Wayne Mullen chickened out. But to the podcast host afterwards, this is what he said. This is what he said. I'm going to explain how I fight. By the way, I'm not afraid of biting. I'll bite 100%. In a fight, I'm going to bite. I'll do anything. I'm not above it. And I don't care where I bite, by the way. Come on. I mean, how degraded can the Republican Party get? At first, I thought Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar, Matt Gaetz, Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, crying on the phone to wrestlers saying, please don't rat on me. All these people asking for pardons. I thought that was as low as you could go. But to have basically a barroom thug from Oklahoma boasting about how when he fights, it's not exactly the Marquess of Queensbury rules. It reminds me of that. Remember Evander, the commander, Evander Holyfield? Remember him fighting Mike Tyson? Mike Tyson bit him on the ear twice. You know, in boxing, when they get real close and they're tired as heck and they're sort of punching each other and their heads are next to each other. Mike took a bite out of the champ, 2 bites out of the champ. He took two bites out of the champ. I do not know if he bit off his earlobes or not. Just so you know, I don't approve of this sort of thing, and you shouldn't either, but if you do that in a fight and bite something off, that is a felony called mayhem, M-A-Y-H-E-M. You may think you've heard the word before. Yeah, you have. You think it's just some sort of a general word. You say there was a lot of mayhem there, and finally it sorted itself out. No. It is removing a body part, usually with your teeth, in a fight like that or an attack. So Mark Wayne Mullen, it's very rare to have a senator confess to being guilty of a felony, or wanting to be guilty of a felony, but they all, many of them have committed felonies. But I have never heard of a senator threatening to commit mayhem and saying as if he thinks it's like a good thing, like folks back home, just home folks, Oklahomans. He stereotypes his own state in a very, very nasty, pejorative way, I think. Very, very nasty. Very nasty. By the way, I wanted to give a shout out. Over the weekend, I attended a dinner for a nonprofit. And Sarah Rodriguez, the lieutenant governor, and her husband were there. And I had a chance to meet her. And I just want to say, I'd never met her before. Didn't know much about her. I was quite impressed. She is a registered nurse. She was a healthcare executive. And she also is an expert in healthcare policy. She's a lieutenant governor. Doesn't have as high a profile as some. But the reason I raise it is we have a whole bench of very good candidates in the Democratic Party. And already everyone is sniffing around, you'll not believe this, for 2026 and 2028. 2026, under the expectation that Tony Evers won't run again, although my own feeling is that if he does, he'll get reelected. And if his health is good, he might as well run again. But 2026 and 2028, the Senate seat against Ron Johnson, which should not have been won by Ron Johnson this last time. The one thing I'll also say from very deep experience is that 3 years in politics from 2023 to 2026 is geologic time. It's geologic. You cannot predict. You cannot plan. You can't plan anything. 5 years in politics, from 2023 to 2028, is geologic time on steroids. It is absolutely impossible to know all the permutations and combinations, all of the events that are going to happen politically, what candidates will rise and fall. So I'm not suggesting that anybody make any plans. But what I am suggesting is that we have a very, very deep bench in the Democratic Party. I'm very, very glad to see it. I don't see a deep bench in the Republican Party. And I think Sarah Rodriguez should be added to that bench. I have no idea what she or any of the rest of them are interested in. But along with some of the other outstanding candidates, she is one who I think has the ability to discharge a higher office statewide. And just frankly, like the bench over in the 3rd Congressional District, we have some terrific, terrific congressional candidates over there. And I'm very, very happy to see it. There's a new dawn rising in the Democratic Party. And I've met many of these people. Now I've just met another one. And I am feeling very, very good about the future of our party. Well, I'll tell you what, coming up, what Russia has done to Finland. I remember something. Finland is a NATO member. It better not have done anything to it, but it did. Coming up.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
house. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love 2 turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure, but why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap K.
Go back to Matthew and Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines. Todd or Billy, my friend, thanks for calling from Madison. What's your mind today, Todd or Billy?
Hey, Matt. I'm curious about Americans making asylum claims, possibly. What brings this to mind is Donald Trump re-truthing posts about that Jack Smith should come under citizen's arrest, this decision in Colorado that's a bit nonsensical, that he was guilty of insurrection, but it's not meant to apply to a president, so he can be on the ballot in Colorado, which, seems to me, some suggestion is that the reason the judge found that way is because of fear for their own safety. Are we in a situation where Americans might be trying to claim asylum in other countries because of the threat that Donald Trump poses to them and their families?
Well, let me tell you my view of that. We're American patriots. I'm a veteran. There's a lot of veterans out there. We ain't going anywhere. This is our country, not Donald Trump's country. So people who move to other countries, especially give up their citizenship, I have absolutely no sympathy for them, none whatsoever, not a little bit at all. And if Trump gets in, which I hope he doesn't, we have a lot more to worry about than his shooting his mouth off now. He'll betray Ukraine. The Russians will be emboldened. Saudi Arabia will get stronger because they pay him. They pay his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, $2 billion. And when I say pay, you say, Matt, he's supposed to invest it. Yeah. Let me tell you something. What he gets is 2% every year just for doing it, whether he wins or loses. 2% of $2 billion is $40 million a year. He gets $40 million a year. So I'm tired of hearing about Hunter Biden when this guy's getting $40 million a year from Saudi Arabia. And he also gets like a percentage and a half of anything his investments yield over the S&P 500 index. So Donald Trump is a crook. He's a criminal and a crook. I don't need asylum from anybody. He should need asylum from us. And let me say, we never turned the tables of the guy. I'll give you an example. He said that Mark Milley has created treason, has done treason, and the penalty for treason is death. Okay, fair enough. Donald Trump has committed treason. It was just found to have committed treason in Colorado. The penalty for treason is death. Now, the fact of the matter is that he shoots his mouth off saying stuff like that, and we don't. We don't go around saying that. He has committed treason. He also committed treason by stealing classified documents and leaving them deliberately unguarded so China and Russia could get them and execute some of our undercover agents. That's not a laughing matter. That's not a funny matter. People who say, oh, well, Biden had classified documents and Penn had, yeah. They're mixed in with Senate documents. I have a feeling 3/4 of the Senate have them too. We classify like 7 billion documents a year, and a lot of them are just newspaper articles. That is not what Donald Trump had. He committed treason. When it comes to what happened in Colorado, the judge found that he had committed insurrection. That case is on appeal. it will be on appeal, and the appellate court has the factual finding it needs. It's not going to overrule a factual finding, which is based on demeanor evidence, but the legal finding that a president is excluded is false. There's no distinction in the 14th Amendment that the president didn't take an oath. And in fact, he did take an oath. They all take oaths. You've seen them on television taking oaths. The real question on that one, immutability, is this. What are the political consequences of throwing the front-running candidate for his nomination off the ballot? You may have people do a writing campaign and nominate him anyway. What about that? Then you can say he can't be on the November ballot. At some point, are you legitimizing him, making him look like an underdog, like we're afraid of him? So it's a very complicated thing. And the judge did what the judge did. The appellate court will do what it's going to do. But remember, Lisa Murkowski in Alaska didn't make the primary, but she won by a write-in vote, and her name is Lisa Murkowski, but her father was a statewide official, very popular, and they handed out stickers. So I think that the way to beat him is not necessarily keeping him off the ballot, because the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court are not going to kick him off the ballot. I think it's time to point out more than people have. I have, you have, but people in general, of his treason. Thanks for the call. Great call, Tyler Billy, as always. Let's talk about Russia and Finland. Here's what Russia did, and Russia and Belarus did it to Poland, too. They take in refugees from African countries, Islamic countries. Then they bus them to the border with Finland. Finland has an 800-plus mile border with Russia. It's sort of like our Canadian border, not quite as big, but almost. You can't guard the whole thing, and there are four access points. And what Russia did is brings these migrants there and then gives them scooters or bicycles, says, go into Finland, and then they leave. It's cold. It's out in the forest. Then they come into Finland. Finland is tired of it, so Finland closed four border crossings. Belarus has a border with Poland. Belarus did it at the Russians' instigation. They think that's funny. Flood Eastern Europe with refugees. They don't take refugees. They'll kill them if they come in. I don't know if they kidnap them or some refugees don't get the message that it's dangerous going into Russia. Russia is a basket case. It's not a competent civilization. It's too small. It has the largest landmass of any 11 time zones. 11 time zones. Largest landmass of any country in the world. With 145 million people, and everybody's trying to get out. Leadership is crooked as a dog's hind leg, sadistic and genocidal. It's got to be our geopolitical objective to make sure in the future they're reduced to two cities, maybe a rail line in between Moscow and St. Petersburg, and essentially be museums for Western tourists. Coming up, an awful lot of weather and news, and another great show, Devil's Advocate. With Dom and Crute, Matt Flynn will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Sign off for today.
There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.